Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
My name is Werner, and I am not the most important person here. It's just my job to bring the word tonight and on most Sunday evenings. It's really amazing to be here and spend time with you all. We're busy in a sermon series called The Comeback, and we're really talking about, we're just making God the hero in all these stories we see through scriptures where people are given a tremendous second chance. And just when you think a person is down and out and almost scrape them off and is also bathed, then God comes walking by. And He says, you will live, you will breathe, you will do well. Isn't that amazing? And so the comeback is about new beginnings. And soos ons legend Gertjie gesê het, even if we are unfaithful, He is faithful. And so what we need is a second chance, and that's what we get through the cross of Christ. Amen? Right, let me pray. Father, I want to just thank you for tonight. Yeah, Lord, I want to thank you for bringing Lishin Yosef to come and visit us, Lord. These are precious moments, and thank you for how you are building a house for yourself in Secunda. Maybe in 100 years, Lord, none of us will be here anymore, but a church will be standing here. This church is not about me. It's not about one of the leaders or even Lishin. This is all about you. So help us to build well. Help us to become Christ. And help us to make comebacks, even tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Tik die maatjie langs jou en sê, is jou seatbelt aan? Are you ready? And we are going somewhere tonight at a speed. Tonight's comeback is focusing on betrayal and suffering. Yes. This fluke word, but we are going there, okay? I'm going to do, there's a lot of Chuck Norris jokes. There's something like, he can do 3 minutes in 1 minute, something like that. Now, I'm going to attempt the impossible and share on the life of Joseph in 35 minutes, okay? Now, Joseph's story is a story you find in the Old Testament, the very first book, the book of Genesis, and it's the last story in the book of Genesis, and you'll find it from Genesis 37 all the way to Genesis 50, all right? There's been books on this story. There's sermon series, by the way, it's a very good one. If you get it, I don't know if you can download it for free, From Dream to Destiny. It's 8 sermons on the life of Joseph. I'm doing one tonight. So what I cannot do of this story is talk through every scripture and every circumstance, unpack everything. It will take 2 months. So what I'm rather going to do is I'm going to swim with the long strokes through this story and highlight certain themes. And then I want to just put some responsibility in your hands and ask you, go and read the story for yourself this week and fill in the blanks. Is that okay? Great. So I'm going to talk through this, and every now and then I will put a scripture on almost to just act as a landmark for this story. Betrayal and suffering. How to make a comeback from that? Who's ever been betrayed? Come on, hand up. Who's ever had a lack of knife in the back? Hand up. And who agrees with me that the betrayals that hurts the most is from the people we love most? Isn't that true? Oh, it hurts deep. Someone walks by you and tune you something. Ah, you can an. But when someone hurts you, that really loves you, it makes you question your existence, your identity. What is wrong with me? What do these things happen to me? The closer the relationship, the more heartfelt or the deeper the betrayal. And this is what the story is about. Now, Joseph was one of 12 sons. And we're just going to read the scripture. Now, Israel is just another name for Joseph's dad. All right. It says, now Israel loved Joseph, and that's Jacob. Okay. Jacob equals Israel. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a robe of many colors. Okay. Who lived in a home where you are absolutely sure of this fact that jou broer of sister was voorgetrek? Hana op. Both has got their hands up. So. Okay, just hands up. Who thought another sibling was a favorite? Hands up. Okay, not so nice, okay? I mean, when you got a cell phone, you were 20. When they got a cell phone, they were 4 years old and all those stuff. Who wants to take a chance to say, I am the favorite one? Hands up. Oh, Idaline. Oh, okay. Okay, you're probably going to phone your siblings afterwards and just remind them. How old were you when you got a cell phone? You know, I'm obviously more loved. But this is the situation we have here. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully of him. Okay, so that's the setting. Scripture says he's loved more, and his brothers are growing quite almost resistant to him. Now, what happens to this young man who's already more loved by his father? His brother's already resisting him a bit. As he gets a very interesting dream, actually gets two dreams, both imply the same thing, that his brothers and his family will come and bow before him. It says he's got a dream where the moon and 11 stars but just bow before him. And the issue is not that there's something wrong when we get dreams or when we get a word or encouragement that something amazing will happen through us. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's a sense that the way in which Joseph conveyed this to his brothers was with a lot of pride. And so we see this next slide. He said to them, hear this dream that I have dreamed. And he tells them the story, and they are very upset with him. Already he's dressed in a robe that dad specifically made for him, was already singled out, and now he says, one day you guys will bow before me. I'm actually amazing. He's the youngest one, very young brother. And so they started to resent him. And so one day, all the brothers are working. How's that? Everyone is working. Everyone is doing their part. Everyone is doing the dishes. Everyone's washing the car. Or you are doing it again, and your brother is playing Xbox. Okay? Everyone is out working, except Joseph. He's chilling with his dad. And his dad says, go and check on your brothers where they are working. Well, see how it's going. Probably he's taking some food. And this situation plays off. It says, they saw him from afar as he was coming near to where they were tending to the animals. And before he came near to them, they conspired against him to kill him. Things have developed, the hatred have gone so deep that these brothers, now what you need to understand is, it says they, you've got a situation here where the 11 other brothers are probably standing together in a circle plotting evil against the person that's walking there. And they are agreeing on this thing. That is what people often do. As people come together, and they agree to do harm to a person, and often that person might be you. You might be one of the people conspiring as well. We find ourselves on both sides. But every now and then, when we end up with a knife in our back, when we feel betrayed, it is when people have come together and they agree to hurt you. And this is what's happening here. But now, they take him and they throw him in a pit. And look at this verse 25 from chapter 37. It says, and they sat down to eat. This is just after they throw him in a pit. Now, this is an awkward verse. I mean, how does your lunch taste? Okay, you've just chucked your brother in a pit. He's probably injured. And now you are sitting and you are enjoying your meal. And looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing, okay, of all the things they are bearing, gum. Imagine that. At least carry a hamburger to sell, but they carry gum. Can you believe that? That's amazing. Scripture is just golden every now and then. To carry it to Egypt. The people in Egypt love gum. That's what these guys are carrying. And so what they decide, these brothers, is what is the profit to us if we kill our brother and we've got blood in our hands? Let's sell him. That's their master plan. And so they sold Joseph to these men that came along. And they conspire further. They take his coat, tear it apart, take goat's blood, dip it in it. And check this next verse. Now they go back to their father. They've plotted, they've agreed on this. This is our thing. They agree. Then they go to the father. They sent the robe of many colors and brought it to their father and said, check this out. This we have found. Please identify whether this is your son's robe or not. Die scaly. Pretending they don't know whose this is. Now, one of them or all of them are standing with money in their pockets from just selling their brother. Now they bring the coat and they play dumb. Is this your son's? It's funny, I don't have a scripture on there, but as the dad starts to cry, scripture says they comfort him. We live in a broken world. I'll tell you that. And we are still going along the same lines, the same themes as we see here. It is happening in this world and in this town as we sit here. Isn't that true? And so for you to experience betrayal at some other stage in your life, to feel that you are suffering at the hands of people that's treating you unjustly, that sounds about right for this world. Amen? So he gets sold one time. Next slide, verse 36, it says, meanwhile, the Midianites, that's the Ishmaelites, had sold him a second time. Now they sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. So he gets sold again. By this time, his brothers will probably never find him. Once the second transaction happens, you don't know who's got him. Are you with me? So if Pharaoh was there, the highest man in Egypt, you've got his officers, and Potiphar was one of these. And so Joseph is sold into his home as a slave. Now, we're going to end up with a few points tonight. We're going on. The scripture is now sharing with us this platform of Potiphar's house where Joseph finds himself. Genesis 39 verse 2. Check this out. Now the Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he made him overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. Isn't it amazing when the people who's supposed to love you, those who grew up with you, someone very close, whoever that is, a father, a brother, whatever the people is that's close to you, were meant to love you, were meant to care for you, they sold you away. They betrayed you maybe once or twice, or maybe actually walked out of your life. They were supposed to love you. And then in an unimaginable place, these people from Egypt, they enemies is Israel. This man finds the appreciation that he was supposed to get from his family. He found favor in the sight of Potiphar. Why? Point number one for tonight. Know that God is with you in times of suffering or betrayal. Love comes in the most unimaginable places. Some of you at one stage of your life thought, I will never go to church. I wouldn't go to church. And life happened to you, and he walked away or she walked away, and then there was this thing that happened in that relationship, and you end up in a dark place, and you found your way to this church, and now you are loved by people you never knew. Because even if people walk away out of your life, God never walks out. And here you are, loved. You find favor, you find a place. Remember, in times of suffering and betrayal, God is with you. He has not left the room. What does it mean when bad things happen? I'll tell you what, you as a Christian are not shielded from life. It will happen to you. If you think your parents will never pass away, you are being very vulnerable. These kind of things happen in our lives. But I'll tell you what, God will be with you along the way, every single step. And you will experience His love. He's with you. If you get sold, He will know who buys you. Sold two times, God knew exactly where He would end up. So if people will sell you out, God will send the buyer. Done. He's with you. He knows about you. Can we go on? Now, he's in Potiphar's wife. Scripture says God is with him. He finds favor with his master. And hy kom 'n tannie wat baie stout is. After a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." Okay? Sy nooi hom na haar slaapkamer toe. But scripture says he refused. He says to her, we don't have it on there because it's a very long story. He basically says to her, listen, your husband trusts me. He's given me everything to work with, but you are not mine. I will not do this. And then it goes on to says, and daily, frequently, she came back with the same invitation. This guy is about 20 years old, Joseph. Now, if you don't know it, men at that age have hormones. Okay? He's got hormones. He's just been sold twice. His father's, his brother's forsaken me. He's absolutely unstable. Yet there's something in him where he's connected with God. He will not fall for this. This reveals a lot about this man. I will tell you something about an invitation like this, and it's not sexually specific. It's got to do with money and power and other things as well. I'll tell you that this man did not win the battle when that invitation happened. You don't win a battle when it comes to lust in that moment. You win it in your inner room where you spend time with God. That's where you win it. So I can tell you now that this man had a relationship with God at that time. And when the temptation came to this woman, he was ready. He could say, no, I'm not going to do this. So let me tell you what, number two, when you are in a time of suffering or betrayal, remain intimate with God because you're going to need it. Temptations will come your way. You will be tempted by Satan when you are at your weakest and your most vulnerable times in your life, like this man. How could he refuse? I'll tell you what, he did not need the intimacy of a woman because he was intimate with God and he was satisfied. Isn't that amazing? This happens every day in this town and around this world, where people will sell their lives, their callings away for intimacy, and it will hurt you. God can restore you, but let me tell you God's plans. Be intimate with God. You young guys that's not married, be intimate with God. Let Him satisfy your soul with that intimacy, and He will send you someone who is also satisfied, and they will become your husband and wife, and you'll have a great marriage. And if you have made mistakes, when it comes to this, listen, you can make a comeback. You come to God, you bring it before Him, and you allow Him to wash you. Amen? In times of suffering and betrayal, remain intimate with God. It will protect you against any possible temptation that will come your way. Amen? We're going to go on. This Bayestil Ibana. Verse 20 of chapter 39. So after that story, let me tell you what this woman did first. So she comes to her every day, and then one day, say greipel. Okay? And it's almost like the picture of she grabs him and he climbs out of his shirt, that kind of thing, and then he runs. They only had a robe, okay? Now, he runs, probably naked. I don't know exactly what they wore, but they had these dresses. So it could be that he was, you know, something like that. I'm not sure. Take a pot, put a pot in and so something is happening in that house, and it's not beautiful, okay? And so she does, and you can go read it for yourself, exactly what happens with his brothers. She quickly calls the gods, the men that works in the house. She says, look at what this man did. He tried to have intimacy with me, and he tried to violate me. Look, here's his cloak. And so quickly she conspires with the men. Her husband is not there. Again. People conspire against him. Her husband comes home. She's already brought everyone on the same page. He's still running somewhere in the bushes. I'm not sure. But when the master comes home, she's got everyone behind her. Now, this is a story. They probably now telling the story. Oh, you know, this man tried his stuff, and here's his cloak as proof. The whole house rallied against him. And the master throws him in prison. Wow. That is tough luck, okay? That's some serious hard luck there. But check the next verse, very next verse after that. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love. When the only thing he could get from people was betrayal, was conspiracy against him, who loved him? God. Showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Wow, isn't that amazing? All time low. In a pit, sold twice, gets a good position in a man's house, boom, back into prison. Now what happens in prison is he remains faithful and he's esteemed by the keeper of the prison. And one day, two men comes into the prison. The one with the baker and the one was the cupbearer of a king. Both meet him there. And one night, both get a dream. Both of these men. And Joseph's got a way with dreams. God uses him in that way, in that he can discern God's voice through dreams. That's a way he can, he stands in service of God. You can call it a spiritual gift if you want to. And these two men come to him and says, listen, this is what I dreamed, this is what I dreamed. And he shares with them, and he says to the, first he says to the cupbearer, that in 3 days you will be lifted up, your head will be lifted up, and you will be reinstated in Pharaoh's house. Okay? He came from Potiphar's house here, at this level, now Pharaoh's higher. These two gents, They're in prison because of Pharaoh's house. So now he's dealing with these guys. And he says to the man, if your dream comes true, when this happens, will you remember me? To the other one, to the baker, he says, your head is going to be lifted off from your body. Literally, he says it that way. And in 3 days, exactly that happens. The one guy gets killed, his head gets removed. And the other one gets reinstated in his high position, and the cupbearer, he works with Pharaoh again. And then scripture says, and he forgets about Joseph for 2 years. Leaves him in prison. Wow. That's just astounding. Put your faith in people, eh? Verse 14 from chapter 40. Only remember me when it is well with you, he says to the man. And please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so to get me out of this house. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. That's a great friend right there. Until one day Pharaoh gets a dream himself. And everyone is there to interpret it, but no one can help him. And then this man comes around and he says to Pharaoh, listen, there's a man, he actually says, I've done a great injustice. There's a man in prison, I left him there. He said I should remember him, I did not. This man has got away with dreams. He helped me in prison. And so the dream that Pharaoh dreams is that there's seven cows, nice and fat like a cow should be, and they look healthy, and then comes these very thin cows, and then they eat the fat ones. And there's another dream that says more or less the same thing, and Pharaoh is very upset. No one can help him until they bring Joseph, who is still exercising his spiritual gift, who is still obeying God, who is still following God with the stuff he has. He's in prison, but doesn't matter where he finds himself, he is still busy with what he can. And his faithfulness brings him before Pharaoh, and he tells him exactly what it means. We're going to have seven great years. We're going to have seven fat years, and then we're going to have a famine for 7 years. That's what he tells Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he shaved himself, changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Because of a lying woman, he was in prison, yet he remained faithful with his gift of dreams for those two men, and probably was ministering to the other people as well. And Pharaoh said to his servants, check this out, verse 38, after Joseph gives his dream, he says, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? After all those time, all those betrayals, all that suffering, at some stage we tend to say, I am done with Christianity. Look where it has brought me. Yet this man comes, and Pharaoh says, his brothers couldn't see it in him. It was yet unformed. Here comes this man out of Egypt and says, the Spirit of God is in this man. Number three, in times of suffering or betrayal, remain faithful in unfaithful circumstances. Remain faithful in uncircumstances. Don't let your circumstances push you away into a place where you stop being who God called you to be. If everyone is unfaithful, remain faithful. If everyone around you let go of love and all they have for you is harsh words, remain in the love of Christ towards them. Come with the opposite spirit, remain there. For this man, it was the saving of his life. Amen. And so the 7 years came and it went great. Pharaoh put him in charge of the whole process. You understand the dream, you will understand the process. And this man ran the whole country, the whole of Egypt. And as it was going great, they had extra food and they stored it. And there came a famine. And the famine hit. And not only Egypt, also Canaan and other places. It was a world famine. And people started to come to Egypt because they've heard that there was food. These people prepared. And then Joseph's dad called the brothers and says, don't look at one another. Go get us some food. We're going to die. And so his brothers makes their way to Egypt. Now, they don't know where he is. They don't know what happened to him. All they know is they're starving. Their farms are dry. There's nothing left. They must go for food. And they find themselves in front of Joseph. Now, what you need to understand about Joseph at that moment is that he would look beyond recognition to them. In Egypt, they dress very weird. It looks like Halloween every day, okay? They've got stuff hanging from their faces. The men has got makeup on, okay? It is weird. They might be bald heads or they might have massive things on their head. So they're approaching him and he sees who it is. But they don't know him. And Scripture actually says the first time he speaks to them roughly. He's actually trying to hide his voice. Now, his meetings and his dealings with his brothers, there's a few times they meet and this is, he sends them away and they come back. And I'm not going to go into everything, every circumstance. Go and read for yourself. But at one stage, his brothers is before him, chapter 43, verse 30. And this is what it says. Joseph hurried out, for his compassion grew warm for his brother, and he sought a place to weep. And he entered his chamber, and he cried there, he wept. When I was a young believer, and I read for the first time through Genesis, when it came to this part of the story, I also cried. It really touched me deeply. Here's this man, he's crying in his room. They don't know who he is, but his heart grew warm for his brothers. Check this one out. This is another circumstance. He cries a bit later. They come again. It says, he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. That's crying out of control. Okay? And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. He reveals himself to them. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed with his presence. Number four, in times of betrayal and suffering, it's okay to be vulnerable and human. It's okay to cry. Listen, it's okay I'm being stylish here for a second. That's okay. It's okay. These are heroes of the faith. This man is he's a hero. He cries so loud in a room that the whole house hears him. I'll tell you why, it's not small houses. They hearing him from this room there in the classroom where the kid is, he is bawling his ass off. He's just lost it. The memories are coming, what they did to him. He remembers the pit, the prison, that stupid woman, everything, and it's just crying. It is okay. You are not a machine. You're a human being with a heart. And you experience pain. And you experience this suffering and betrayal as personal. It comes to you. And it's not an object there. It's in here. And I just want to say, it's okay to say, I am broken. It is actually very important for you to be real about this. And that's why it's important to have a good community or a real community that loves you and takes you in. Because you don't have to cry alone. In times of suffering, be vulnerable and be human. Why can he cry? Why can he lose control? This is very important. He is not the hero of the story. God is. He's the one who never left him. He's the one who worked through him in the prison. He's the one that was alongside Joseph. And the same with you. You are not the hero yet. I'm not the hero. We can be broken. That's okay. What is important is that we are honest and that we are faithful with what God has given us. You can make a comeback. I'm going to go on with a story. Now what happens here is that his brothers come and they like, don't kill us. Now remember, these guys were probably having nightmares. Joseph is 30 years old at this moment. They threw him in the pit when he was 17. That's a 13-year journey. Nachmeri. Where's my dad? Where's my brother? So now they realize him and Hilla is bang. That they will kill him. And this is what he says to them. Chapter 45, verse 7. He says, God send me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. You did not send me here. Got it. Point number five. Remember, you are in God's story. You are in God's story. Let's go back one slide. I want to show you something. In a sense, I mean, he's not being insulting, but in a sense, he tells them, he says, it was not you who sent me here. You do not have that kind of power. as my brothers and as humans, you cannot press me into your story. It is impossible because there's one higher than you that is writing me into his story. And so stuff happens through you, but let me tell you what, you do not have that control over me. I don't want to be rude, but you're not that great. I am in God's story. So stuff happened to you, and I'm sorry about that. And there's stuff I hear that I want to throw people with bricks if I hear what they do to people. And maybe sometimes you are the one that received that. I want to tell you, even that person, that abuser, cannot write your story. Only God can. Now these men were here, but God used them and he lifted Joseph way above their storyline. So let me tell you what. You are part of God's story. And it's a safe person to be in charge of your life. Amen? What happened up to now in your life? That man was thrown in a pit when he was 17. And this moment he's 30 years old. He's grew a lot in that time. There was many trials. Where are you in your life? Let me tell you what. You are not the subject of other people's decisions. God is writing your story with his hand. Be intimate with him. Trust him. He is with you. Amen. And here it happens. Joseph makes a comeback. What happens in the story is that the father was there for a while and they were all together in Egypt and he was caring for them. And then the father died. And when the father died, the brothers became scared from the start because the father was like a shield. He really loved his father. And the father would have told them, don't kill your brothers, at least what they thought. And here the father dies. And there is his dream. It happens just as he dreamed. His brothers came and fell before him and said, behold, we are your servants. There's a dream. 13 years ago, he dreamt it. He was right. And they fell before him. They're in a sense worshiping him. They don't kill us. Our whole life belongs to you. They're on their faces. And listen to what he says. This is his comeback. Do not fear. Am I in the place of God? You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, don't bow before me because I'm not God. 13 years back, this man was a different man. He said, you'll bow before me. And you should because I'm great. God writes a story for him and he says to his brother, I've learned in the last 13 years that you do not belong before me on the floor. I'm not God. Get up. He makes his comeback. His heart changed from being proud, I'm amazing, to the place where I'm not God. I am so vulnerable. I've been to prison. I've been innocent. God can change my circumstances like that. Don't bow here. You should not. He becomes like God, giving and loving, forgiving, forgives his brothers. That is what a comeback is about. He becomes a shadow of Jesus. Listen, when I hear these questions, I don't like it because I don't have answers for the suffering questions you guys often ask me. Why did this happen to me when I was small? I don't know. But I hated that it happened. But I'll tell you something about the stories of God. Don't let Hollywood and sentimental Christianity fool you. Life will happen to you. Okay, it will happen. Bad things will happen to good people and bad people. Good things will happen to good people and bad. It's just how life works. But let me tell you something. God will never leave you. And his stories doesn't make sense. Can I tell you what's a crazy story? That an innocent God ends up on a cross. That does not make sense. Yet, for the saving of many, He was crucified. God sent him before us. Joseph is like a shadow. He's like Jesus. He's a type of Jesus. It's not the same. He's also a sinner. But yet he was sent, and bad stuff happened to him so that people could get food, so that people could live. And so Jesus comes, hangs on a cross. Weird story. Why? He didn't deserve it. I don't know. He had to pay for sins. I'm not sure why all those bad things happened to you, but let me tell you what. God is writing a story with you. Trust him. Chapter 50, verse 21. We're almost done. So do not fear, he says to his brothers. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them. Excuse me? He's the one who was left to die and then sold twice, then in prison. And he comforts his brothers. And he spoke kindly to them. So here's a challenge for you. When you make your comeback, go to the next slide. Be kind to those who hurt you. It's a sign that you are making a comeback in your innermost being. You are becoming like Jesus, who was killed in a sense by us for our sins. And when we go on our knees before him, he speaks to us kindly. I forgive you. Don't worry, it'll be okay. Isn't that amazing? Oh, I love Joseph. And here, just to sum up the kindness of Christ, 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is kindness. Isn't that amazing? So can you make a comeback? Yes, you can. Does it mean if you are going through some very harsh circumstances that God has left you? Surely not. He's with you. Does it mean if circumstances go wrong that you should stop trusting God and doing and follow him and do well? No. Keep on being faithful if circumstances is unfaithful. Because you're going to make a comeback. Amen. Let's stand tonight and let's pray. I want you to close your eyes where you are standing, if you're okay with that. And what I want you to do is just, in your own life, just allow yourself just to quickly browse over your life. The house where you grew up, the people you lived with, And I want to ask you, have you been betrayed? Have you experienced this type of circumstances that have broken loose against you? And maybe at times you were the reason for your own pain, but maybe there was really times when other people conspired against you. I wish those things never happened. But I'll tell you what, he has not left you. And you can make a comeback. But there's a fine line for me this evening. And I want to encourage you and I want to send you home with a hope. But I have to share with you that you need to make right with Christ, or I just gave you a motivational speech and everything means nothing. If you come to him and confess your sins, I know other people sinned against you in your life and conspired against you, but if you can come and bring your sins before him and say, Lord, I also have sins, please forgive me, then that is the start of your comeback. You can psych yourself up. I'm telling you what, it will not work. But once Jesus comes in and make you new, everything changes.